This is The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. I'm your host, Julian Joiello, back in the studio with you today, and of course, Ben Starr in the studio with me hosting today. A beautiful summer day.
Hopefully. Now.
Yeah, for now.
For now.
And I hope you guys listening yesterday enjoyed our special archive that we brought you from Armand DeMille, from the unreleased archives from 2002. And that's our late host, Armand DeMille, a fantastic program.
It was a good one.
About the magic of relationships. And we wanted to bring that to you, give you a little taste of the good days. And before we moved on to some new stuff between me and Ben.
Well,
these are the
good days too, especially now, Julian, being back in the studio with you. Feels like weeks since we've been in here together.
I mean, yeah, I've been running around doing lots of stuff. I'm an actor, as a lot of you know, and I've been kind of busy, which is a good thing. And so I got to step out for a bit and let Ben take the reins for a couple weeks, and it was really. I hope everybody enjoyed that.
Yeah, I certainly enjoyed it, Julian. We had some interesting conversations, and then. You know, I couldn't make it in yesterday, and it's such a pleasure working with you. I mean, I forget, you know, now that we're both here in the studio and we prepare for the show, we do some investigation and some research and some brainstorming based on what we're going to talk about. And, you know, I always forget how much I like working with you, Julian.
No, thank you. You too, man. I mean, I come in here and I'm excited, looking forward to this every day that we come in here. It's just, I learn something as we speak to each other as we have our conversations. There's always something new that comes out from either you or myself, and I'm finding out when we come into the studio. It's a very magical place.
Magic. So how you been the last 3 weeks?
I've been good, busy, which I like. And I'm one of those people that kind of gets a little bit distracted and caught up in things, then I find out, oh my god, it's been a month or something like that.
Yeah.
You know,
well, you see what we're doing right now is we're procrastinating. Because we're supposed to do a show.
We do have a show we're procrastinating. Supposed to be doing, right.
But here's the thing. The topic that we want to talk about today is the topic of procrastination.
Oh, so that's what you were doing, huh, Ben?
I guess that's what I was doing.
Smart, right?
Julian and I had a nice discussion about the pros and cons of procrastination, being a procrastinator, putting things off.
Right. I mean, we all do it. Some of us are procrastinators, and some of us just procrastinate sometimes, but I believe all of us look at procrastination as a negative thing. Most of the time, procrastination is this thing that people do who don't want to put the effort in or don't want to work hard all the time, or people that just try to avoid, doing the work to get to reach your goals.
Yeah, I think it's a fear-based thing. And it's not so simplistic as to say that, well, it's people who might necessarily want to avoid doing the work. Because I think the fear that drives procrastination can be a fear of failure, but it can also be a fear of success.
Right. And our culture says hard work and practice leads to mastery and success. And that's a pretty standard idea of American meritocracy idea.
American work ethic.
And right.
I think it rings true for the most part.
Right. And it's kind of how it works here in America and in most of the world. You work hard, and especially in America, you can work hard and come from almost nothing. And if you're a hard worker and you commit to your goals and you know what you're doing and you're intelligent, you go to school, you follow that path, you'll eventually reach your goal.
Oh, we're going to get a lot of calls on that one, Julian.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, this is just us talking about, some culturally popular ideals, and which has been proven true most of the time. So why are so many people procrastinating? We find this happening, especially in schools, at work, in places where people tell us what to do, and we say, I need to do this so I can succeed, or make money, or be in better shape, go to the gym, but you know, I want to do this, I want to improve myself. But we want the success and the money and the fitness without doing a lot of the hard work sometimes.
Sure, I think at the root of procrastination lies a lot of bargaining. You know, we
right.
like to bargain with ourselves, and that's what we want to ask our listeners today. You know, if you're sitting there at home, are you a procrastinator? Are you someone who puts things off to the last minute?
Right, and many of us have spent hours probably procrastinating something important, coming up with ingenious ways to force ourselves to do something that we've been procrastinating. And I was asking Ben, I was like, what are some ways people do this? I have friends that say, okay, you know, if I don't study, I don't get to go out tomorrow night. Or if I don't go to the gym, I can't eat what I want. If I don't do my chores, I can't watch TV or play video games. So instead, they just end up sitting there, not doing the thing they're supposed to do, but also not doing the thing they want to do.
If I don't eat my meat, I can't have my pudding.
Right. And parents often inspired us to do these things in childhood because they wanted us to stop procrastinating because we were these kids. And, you know, as they were our supervisors when it came to procrastinating at an early age. And even now with iPhones and Androids and iPads, there are apps popping up that help us to do this. They remind you to do all the things you're supposed to do.
Yeah, I have one of those, actually.
Oh, what is it? Which one?
I think it's called AnyDo.
Any dude. So do you use it? Do you use it often?
I don't know. I never opened it.
Well, we keep... so we have apps like this. So, I mean, there's countless apps on the App Store that you can put on your phone that'll tell you, okay, you need to go to the gym today because you haven't gone. And, you know, there's actually one that really comes to mind, which is a very intense version of this sort of reward system. And it's called Pact.
Yeah. This is a good one.
It's called Pact, and get this, guys. So this is a fitness app that uses cash as a reward. So you get money when you go to the gym. You set yourself a schedule, and you every time you go to the gym on the day that you scheduled, you get a little piece of money, but there's this catch. A small amount, like 50 cents, a dollar, right? Depending on how much money they're giving out that day. And this money comes from the people that don't go. So there's the people that procrastinate, and they use this app, and they've said it. So if they don't go to the gym, they pay $20 or $10 for not going to the gym, or $5, I think, is the minimum. And this is this sort of intense, strong way. And this kind of shows how procrastinators don't want to be procrastinators. These people that want to go to the gym but don't, they really want to go to the gym. They almost force themselves to do it, or else, you know, they'll lose all this money. And this is a really interesting idea to think about. How much we're trying to force ourselves not to be procrastinators. So we're sort of bargaining with our brains all the time, saying, "I want this so badly. I know how to get there, but for some reason I'm not doing it. So how do I force myself to do it?"
Well, I think the procrastinator type, the archetype, if you will, is someone who's impulsive, right? Someone who's passionate, maybe easily distracted, maybe some attention issues thrown in there as well. But what I've noticed, and when I was in school, I was definitely a big-time procrastinator.
Right. I think myself included.
I've become better about it since, but I know that when I was working, say, on a topic that I really didn't enjoy, and I had an essay due for that course, I would postpone it until the last minute. Sometimes I wouldn't even start it until 10 o'clock the night before it was due. On the flip side, when I was working in a course that I loved, and my major was history, and I was really into a lot of my professors and courses that I took at Queens College, when I was working in that subject, it was really easy for me to dive into an assignment, to really get into it and focus on it. So I think there's also something to be said when it comes to whether or not a procrastinator enjoys the subject or the task at hand.
Right. And what is it about the human mind that drives us to put things off that actually matter a lot to us? Something even that we want. I mean, I really want to continue learning Chinese in a fluent way. I want to speak Chinese. I want to do it because of my family. Some of my family speaks Chinese. It's a useful language. I already sort of know it pretty well, but I never end up studying it, and I'm slowly forgetting it. And it's like, I love it so much. I don't understand why I'm not doing it.
So the question becomes, if you feel like you're procrastinating around this, the subject of learning Chinese, what are the concrete deadlines that you got to meet? Because I think that sometimes we need deadlines. So for example, using the school or university or work scenario, there are very real deadlines. But with the example you just gave of learning Chinese, unless you have a plan, a set date to pick up and move your life to China, there may not be
Right. Is it too vague of a goal?
Right.
Is it too, there's no concrete, I need to learn these 5 words today and 10 words by the end of the week or something.
Sometimes
like this.
I think a sense of urgency right. is beneficial and even necessary.
Right. And actually, before we get into this more, I found some stuff on Psychology Today, and it's a couple things just about procrastination and the science of it. So procrastination actually afflicts more some people more than others. So some researchers from the University of Colorado at Boulder have found that some people are more predisposed than others to take the bait when a new temptation or distraction enters the picture. Likewise, some people are more likely to display impulsive tendencies. So those who act impulsively are easily distracted by things they believe they'll enjoy more in the short term, ultimately leading them to put off their long-term goals for later. While it's not guaranteed that a procrastinator will also be an impulsive person, the researchers found a correlation between the two traits. So that's interesting. I mean, I find myself being a pretty impulsive person, and this impulsivity, it leads to me being somewhat distracted and then sort of getting off the beaten track when I decide to do something. And so they're saying that these two things are actually linked. So are you an impulsive person? Do you find yourself getting distracted from the goals that you want, even though you're following your impulses in a good way even? And another one is procrastination feels good until it doesn't. Scientifically, while we all know that the end result of procrastination, that feeling of panic, anxiety, and even exhaustion, stress, you
urgency.
Know, right. Have you stayed up, 5 hours, 6 hours, 3 a.m. to 8 a.m. right before a deadline to finish something when you had a month to do it? And that sort of...
that sinking feeling as the sun
right.
comes up.
Yeah, and there's this anger at yourself for waiting so long. There's this stress that, oh my God, I have no time to breathe right now. And so this is all, these are all feelings that you have when you're procrastinating really strongly. And it's anything but desirable. But the short-term boost it supplies keeps us coming back for more, almost. Like we, some people say, oh, I love working under pressure. The best work I make is under pressure.
I hear that one all the time.
And yeah,
and I think it can be true for some people. I mean, like I said earlier, there is a lot of people for whom a sense of urgency is almost necessary to produce good work and maybe sometimes to produce work at all.
Right. And there's actually a boost that is a small dose of dopamine coursing through your brain, which is that feel-good chemical that makes you feel great, and like that you actually get this rush when you're procrastinating a lot of the time. When you're working under pressure, you get this dopamine rush. And so every time something enjoyable happens, you get a dose of dopamine, which modifies the neurons in your brain, making you more likely to repeat this behavior. And so when you get a rush of dopamine, when you do something, even though it's stressful, you're getting a good feeling after it's
done.
And
it changes your brain chemistry to
all of a sudden
to
you
want
say,
that more.
I
want to
go do that thing again. Yeah. I want to do that again. And so it actually keeps rolling and snowballing, and you end up doing more and more of this.
And that's really how the brain, I think, rewards all behavior.
Right. I mean, that's the dopamine is the main factor.
It's the pleasure center.
The reward system for the brain. And a lot of the time, the brain doesn't necessarily know that it's perhaps rewarding something that's not as beneficial to you.
Like eating a box of Oreos.
Right. Yeah. Is that box of Oreos? Oh, it tastes so good. I mean, I think I've sat there and done, the Oreos or the Triscuits or the, and this is all sort of stuff that your brain does. Naturally, and it doesn't even know that maybe these Oreos are not benefiting what you really want to have a great fit body or to go outside and spend some time. Instead, you're at home eating
just
Oreos.
Just have working arteries. How about
right? Yeah, filling it with some fake white fluff in between those Oreos. Did you guys know that there's actually no dairy in Oreos, so they're vegan?
Yeah, I knew that.
Because the cream in the middle is not cream. It's like some chemical.
Some kind of synthetic fake thing.
Yeah, Gary, you should talk about that. I think that's very interesting. And then the last one here is that procrastination is a breakdown of self-control. So a lack of self-control causes procrastinators to have problems when it comes to finishing tasks, even some of the most simple and basic ones. A perfect storm of procrastination occurs when an unpleasant task meets a person who's high in impulsivity and low in self-discipline. And this is Eric Jaffe in Psychological Science. All told, these qualities have led researchers to call procrastination the quintessential breakdown of self-control. So lack of self-control links with specific types of procrastination as well. Research from scientists at Utrecht University in the Netherlands recently coined the term bedtime procrastination, finding that people who generally have trouble resisting temptations and adhering to their intentions are also more likely to delay going to bed. And I've found myself staying up all night watching TV. Right, you say, I'm going to watch TV, and then, you know, I'm going to do this hour of work that I promised myself.
I'm just going to watch till the next commercial break.
Right, and the first episode's, I got to finish this episode. You know, I'm already 10 seconds into this episode.
The question, though, is like, what do we do? What are our strategies? How do we overcome procrastination? How do we tackle it head on and nip it in the bud? One that I've come to use is doing the worst first. And what I mean by that is, let's say you have a task that can be broken into smaller parts, right? A big task that can be grouped into a series of smaller tasks, right, like cleaning the house, for example.
Right, you're cleaning your house.
Cleaning your apartment. What I can't stand more than anything is doing dishes, okay? I don't have a dishwasher, and just washing dishes makes me crazy. I'd rather clean the toilet. I'd rather do anything in the house but wash dishes. And I know that my tendency is to avoid doing that as much as I can. So the best thing for me is when I'm doing chores and cleaning up around the house is to wash the dishes first. And it gets that annoying, scary, imposing part out of the way.
Yeah, and what's funny is that you'll say, okay, I really need to wash these dishes. They're stacking up. I don't have any dishes to eat with. And you're sitting there and you're saying, oh, but like, you know, cleaning my toilet looks so much better than washing my dishes right now. And this is what happens with the procrastinator. You're saying, oh, there's this, the worst thing that's there. What's the second worst? Let me just do that one instead. And you end up being very productive in your procrastination, but you're not really focusing on the main goal.
And so even while you're not getting to the main goal, you're still doing these things that are rewarding. And so I could go around my house and do everything. I could sweep the floor. I could clean the bathroom. I could do all the laundry. I could wipe down the windows with Windex. I could clean everything. And yet the dishes would still be there. But in my head, I've now rationalized that, hey, it's okay that I haven't done the dishes, because look at everything else that I've done. And really, all that was just a strategy to avoid the dishes.
Right. Now, this is something that gets really interesting. Okay. So procrastinators, they don't want to do the main thing that they have to do. They do everything else. They do the things that are fun. They do the things that are just not quite as bad. And then a lot of the time you end up finding that if there's something that you sort of enjoy, like let's say you like how the mirrors look when they're really clean, you're like, oh, I kind of like this. So I'm going to do these. I'm going to clean all the mirrors and all the windows in my house. And there's this thing happening where you end up doing only the things that you really want to do.
And I guess that's rewarding in a way.
Right. And so there's the question for you. Don't most of us, I know I do, hope to, at the end of my life, be able to say that I've lived a full life in which I did mostly what I wanted to do? We've all heard that inspiring quote, you know, find something you love to do and you won't work a day in your life. So according to this new article in Psychology Today, there's a very interesting positive side to those of you who consider yourselves procrastinators. And the author of this article is Garth Sundam. And he states that procrastinators also believe in their own self-efficacy and, in fact, are motivated by factors other than achievement. So what happens is when you're a procrastinator, you're actually not motivated by achievement as much. You're not saying, oh, I'm going to work hard and I'm going to get this thing. And then when I get it, it's like, oh, I got that A. And there are people you know that do this. They work for months and then they practice and practice and practice. And then they get this thing and that's what's satisfying to them. Instead of that, more and more research is showing that procrastination isn't a defect in ability or personality, but rather a disconnect between the demands of the task and what motivates us, the procrastinators. Tempting them with rewards doesn't work, and warning us that not doing something will end us hardly motivates us either. Garth says that instead, the procrastinator has to want to do something. Rather than focusing on a task's rewards and punishments, like that app pact that I was talking about,
right?
Giving yourselves gold stars or something like that, treating yourself with snacks, try to find aspects of this task that you care about.
I guess it means ultimately that motivation has to be internalized.
Right. So as a procrastinator, if you're that procrastinator and you're sitting there right now and you're listening to us talk to you, think about this for a second. What's your motivation when it comes to these things? Yes, you want them, but do you want to do them? Is this something that excites you?
Yeah, and like you said, Julian, the reward or the punishment sort of dichotomy doesn't work, right? The old carrot and the stick thing doesn't often work for a lot of procrastinators out there.
Right, and you need to sort of look at your situation and the stuff you need to do and find what you want to do inside of these things. So if I want to learn Chinese, what do I enjoy about learning Chinese? Is it like fun for me to say the words or go up to other Chinese people and speak to them? That's the part that excites me. I get to speak to people that I could never speak to normally. And maybe there's a way to learn Chinese and focus on this idea of going up to speaking to other Chinese people, because that's my favorite part. I hate the flashcards. I hate the sitting there and studying and memorizing. But I love the part of talking to people. And so I can focus on learning Chinese by speaking to others.
And from what you're saying and from what you just mentioned from that study, it's almost as though procrastination and procrastinators are embracing the journey and not so overly concerned about the destination. Would that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, it basically the procrastinator is interested in what's making them happy at this moment, the thing that they want to do. And I know myself in my life, I say, okay, as long as I'm doing what I want to do, there's actually a lot of satisfaction in that I've done what I could to live my life in a happy and satisfied way.
Yeah, who cares that there's 10 years worth of dirty dishes stacked up in the sink?
Yeah, so we want to hear from you guys about what you think about all this that we're talking about. It's a lot of information, a lot of stuff, but if you're a procrastinator, and you're somebody who, you know, just finds yourself sitting on the couch doing everything but washing the dishes or doing everything but writing that letter to this new job that you want to go to or doing everything but writing the card to your grandma that you need to write or if you're a grandma, writing the card to your grandson, you know.
Or maybe you don't, you know, pay the bill until right when they threaten to cut off the electricity or the cable, and then you pay it right away.
Right, yeah, you pay it right at that moment. What works for you? Does it work for you? Have you lived as a procrastinator a long time and found that it actually is very, you know, satisfying, maybe? This is some exciting stuff, and we want to hear from you. So the number is 212-757-5555.
Yeah, give us a call if you think you can get around to it today.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. If you've been procrastinating calling us here at The Positive Mind, maybe today is the day. We're asking you if you want to.
Yeah, then again, we'll be on next Tuesday. I guess you could always call us then.
Yeah, but 212-757-5555 is our number. We'd love to hear from you. And just got a call coming in now.
What I'd love to hear from listeners is, what are your strategies for beating procrastination? There's a lot of things that we can do, but really, it's important. I think we all have things that are urgent and that need to be done and need to be done quickly. And I'd like to know how you deal, how you go about, I guess, attacking, if you will, your to-do list, your requirements, your obligations. We have a caller on the line, Carol. Carol, thanks for calling in.
Ben, how are you?
Good. How are you doing today, Carol?
I'm wonderful.
We know Carol never procrastinates calling us.
No.
We love Carol.
The only thing I don't procrastinate about. Because so, I'm a big procrastinator, and it's so funny. When I tuned in to you guys and heard you talking about procrastination, because I've been sitting here procrastinating all day.
What are you procrastinating about?
You know what? I don't have any answers. I just know that.
Well, what I mean is,
what
is it that you had to do today that you're not doing?
My job.
Is it something cemented in a real specific goal, or is it just sort of a general, like, I'm procrastinating doing all the things I need to be doing right now? Because I've had those days too.
What it is, I have so much more questions than answers, because I'm wondering if when we and so many everything that you guys have been speaking about hit a core with me, because I'm saying, do we procrastinate when we love what we do? And then if we are not doing what we really love to do.
Does that make it easier to procrastinate?
Yes. And how do you fill that gap? Because when you love what you do, you really, when you really want to do something, that's my experience anyway.
Well, I think it's also an individual thing. I mean, I'm sure there are people who love what they do that still procrastinate because it's their nature to procrastinate. And then there may be people who aren't necessarily procrastinators by nature, but who are doing it as maybe a means of escapism from a situation that they're not crazy about.
Right, and you also have to think, you know, I mean, for example, I love being an actor and I love acting, but memorizing lines is like my least favorite thing about it. And so what happens is I'm not procrastinating advancing in my career or taking auditions and all this sort of thing, but when it comes to learning lines, I'm like, oh, God, maybe I can do it later, or I'll watch a couple episodes of this show because that's research for an actor. And
so the bottom line is, even if we love something, there are aspects of it where... And it all ties in, the procrastination, the discipline, the impulsivity, impulse control, you know. Yes, so
right.
I love what I'm doing. And,
right.
And there's something that, even though I love it, there may be one little aspect of it that I don't particularly like. So I have to find the, cultivate the discipline, to do that little aspect,
right,
that I may not.
And there's something exciting,
yeah,
too, when it comes to, okay, well, I'm saying, okay, I have to memorize these lines.
Mm-hmm.
I hate doing this.
Yeah.
I'm putting it off. And then I'm like, well, what's my favorite part about memorizing lines? It's that I get to act. I get to interact with other people and live in this other character and experience all this stuff that this character experiences. And I'm saying, wait, I'm always memorizing lines by myself. It's
mm-hmm.
actually a really good experience for me because I love being with other people and acting with other people. So in the
yeah.
end, I actually find that memorizing lines when I'm speaking to somebody else that's a real person,
yes,
I actually love doing it that way. And so there's something I'm finding, okay, what do I really want to do? What do I actually want to go out of my way to do in order to get this task done? And it's actually, I like the social interaction part of it.
Okay.
And so then I look for that when I want to do something that I don't need to do as much. I don't want to do. Sorry.
You know, we're coming up against the break here, Carol. If you could, real quick, before we do, share with us maybe a strategy, something you've done to, in a way, I guess, hold your own feet to the fire, if you will, and, you know, get something done. Is there a strategy? Is there a way that you motivate yourself, that you push yourself through it?
I find that I heard someone say, like in the work I do, it's a lot of administrative stuff. So if it can be done in 1 minute, do it. And it's surprising too when you actually sit down and do it, even though the impulse is to not do it, when you sit down and just do it for even a minute, the reward that you get is immense.
So you're saying tackle the easiest tasks first.
Yes.
The ones that take the least amount of time.
If you have a lot of things to do, find the one thing that you can do in a minute and do that.
That's interesting. It's almost the opposite of the worst first.
It's very long.
Yeah.
Do if it can be done in a minute, do that thing first.
Absolutely. Okay, thank you so much for sharing with us, Carol. We're going to head to the break now, and thanks for calling in and tuning in all the time.
Yes.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. You're doing a great job. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
Yes.
212-757-5555. We're going to take a short break. We'll be taking your calls after we listen to some music.
Written love, tell you.
The Waiting Line by 07. It's 1:33 here in New York City. You're listening to The Positive Mind here on WBAI. I'm Ben Starr here with Julian Gioiello. We're talking about procrastination, putting things off, strategies for dealing with procrastination. We have a caller on the line, self-described lifelong procrastinator. Ken, you're on the line. Thanks for calling in.
Good day to all.
Hi, Ken.
Hi. Yeah, I've been, since I'm 58, I've been a procrastinator as long as I can remember. And I sometimes feel it's like self-punishment for something.
That's interesting. Yeah, how, go on about that. I want to hear
more. Because I feel a lot of times procrastination turns into an opportunity lost.
Right, and you feel like if you're procrastinating, all of a sudden you've missed something that you could have done that day.
Or, you know, time has run out on something. Right, exactly. You know, okay, I want to go out today. And by the time you get around, okay, I finally, the sun's down and the day's over.
So let me ask you, Ken, when you're procrastinating, what is it that you're doing instead of what you feel you should be doing or are supposed to be doing?
Sometimes it's just anything. Sometimes it's just sitting there and being in the moment.
Do you enjoy doing that, though?
Sometimes. Sometimes just to sit down and relax and clean your mind out.
Right, but an interesting idea here. Just let me just, what about that actually being something you need? You being in the moment instead of going out and you know, drinking or you know, going out for a run, whatever. Maybe this moment on the couch, does that represent something that maybe your mind, your brain needs?
It could be. It could be.
And maybe you're that person that your motivation, because we were talking about motivation before, and it's interesting because you can't say one thing, you know, a lot of people studying motivates them. A lot of people, that does not motivate them. So, I mean, where does your motivation for things come from usually, you think?
The end result, you know, I guess like everybody, you know, it's the end result that makes you happy.
But you'd mentioned lost opportunities, and I want to expand on that. What do you feel are the opportunities?
Okay, I'll give you a big lost opportunity.
Yeah.
Years ago, I bought a conference for Armand.
Okay.
And I really didn't know what I wanted to use it for. And I decided I wanted to go to him and actually see him about procrastination.
Okay. And did you go?
And I kept putting it off, and now Armand's gone.
That's a pretty interesting point right there.
You know, and that's my lost opportunity.
Sure.
Because at the point, I was thinking about it this summer, and I remember the last pledge drive we had when Armand was still around, there was an urgency in his voice. And it's funny, I just heard, he goes, maybe we can try to fit you in the next 3 weeks.
Mm.
It was like he knew he wasn't long for this world.
I think you may be right there, Ken.
And he was. He said that, and I picked that right up in his voice. You know, and I'd gotten to the point where I was very comfortable with Armand, just listening to him, and I enjoyed his perspectives and everything. And at that point, you know, I said, I have to go see Armand, and it was too late.
Do you think part of you was afraid of coming in and seeing him so close to what you might have believed was the end?
I don't know, but it's just, you know, it's the procrastination part. It's like I really, at that point, I wanted to do it, and I just put it off.
So what's next, Ken? I mean, are you going to find a strategy or multiple strategies to overcome it?
I look, but then I think about Hitchcock. I remember reading something or watching something on TV about Hitchcock. Now, Hitchcock, they said, went through every frame by frame of his movies in his head. So that by the time he went on to behind the camera, he knew exactly what he wanted to do, and actually the actual filming was anticlimactic.
And how
I think about that. You know, it's like I go through all this, even the stuff you don't like to do. I go through it in my head
before you're actually doing
before
it.
Before I actually do it.
Okay, I think that's.
And at that point, you know, it's like I've already done it.
Sure.
You know, unless it's something that really has to be done, like your laundry or like you with your dishes.
Right.
You know, I mean, it comes to a point where you can't put it off anymore.
Right.
Right. There's certain tasks that are one of a kind in a lot of ways. And I think there's something that we need to our brain becomes fragmented when we're procrastinating. We're saying part of us really wants this thing so much that this other part of our brain sabotages us almost, afraid of the success or
the
positive part that's going to come from doing this. And it's weird because you read about procrastination and you think about actually what's happening. And a lot of the time we actually have a fear of success or a fear of fixing the thing that we're going towards. And it's interesting you mentioned Armand, because a lot of people have somewhat of a fear of going to a therapist, especially somebody like Armand, because of what'll happen. And it's interesting because a lot of this procrastination does come from fear of something very positive. And anyways, Ken, thank you so much for sharing with us today. We're going to try to get to a couple more phone calls, but
okay.
I appreciate it. And keep tuning in and keep calling when you find something interesting you want to talk about.
Yeah, no, I love the show.
Thank you so much, Ken.
Thanks, Ken.
It opens insights into your mind.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
And you've helped us with that too today. Appreciate it.
All right.
212-757-5555. It's an interesting thing you bring up, Julian, about the fear of success or fear of the positive outcome, because it's almost like the part of you that's afraid is saying, you know, if I rise to this challenge, if I really step up, if I do what it is that I need to do or that I'm supposed to do or that I feel I should do, then now I've become the kind of person who comes through. And now I will expect that of myself in the future, and others around me will expect it of me. So maybe it's a strategy to lay low, if you will. Maybe it's a strategy to, you know, if I procrastinate on this important thing and I don't do it, and I either let myself down or I let someone else down, well, I won't be held to the standard in the future. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and there's also something interesting happening too. I know I had a lot of friends that were actors in acting school, and there were some of them that I just felt like didn't belong there. And this is something kind of weird that I've noticed. And they would procrastinate coming into class. They would procrastinate learning their lines. They would procrastinate everything about it. And I one time I just asked one of them, I said, do you like acting? Do you like doing this? Or are you forcing yourself to do this because it's something you think you want to do? And it's something I feel like we should you know, explore more. Are you forcing yourself a lot of the time? What do you really want to do? Are you at home saying, I don't want to go to acting class. Instead, I want to just draw because I love drawing. And maybe you're procrastinating because it's something you don't want to do.
Yeah, maybe you're jumping through hoops of a perceived obligation that you've either self-imposed or feel is imposed by the world around you. It's important.
Yeah, okay. We actually have Mo on the line. Mo, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, Mo. So what's your experience with procrastinating? Are you a procrastinator, or are you somebody who just gets everything done all off the bat?
No, I'm a big time. I think, in other words, I would like to call myself a failure, because every time there's a task to be done, I just seems to never be able to do it on the time. And I know in my mind that I should do it, and it needs to be done, but I just don't do it.
Mo, what's the last thing, the last task you procrastinated and didn't get done most recently?
Yesterday, I was supposed to go and get this inspection done for the car, and I know I need to do it, because if I don't do it, I won't be able to drive, and I need my car to be ready for to drive, because I drive for a living. And I just sit over there, and I just kept on looking at the clock that at 4 o'clock they close, and I just couldn't. I got ready, I did the breakfast, I work out, I did every single thing that I was did it,
right,
but got up to go and do what I needed to do it. In the same time, I know I need to do it, and just did not happen.
And now your car is past inspection?
What was that?
Your car is past inspection now, is that right?
No, it's failed, because I never showed up yesterday, I never went there.
Oh, okay, I see.
And the time just ran out, and I just feel like this is how it is every single time when there's a test to be done, and it frustrates the hell out of me, even when I was in school. It's like I get motivated, I want to do it, I plan everything out, I set up everything, and I just don't do it. I don't know why. Feel like there's a chemical or something in the brain or something.
No, we were just talking about this before. There are people who are more genetically disposed to actually procrastinate, and a lot of it comes from, are you an impulsive person in general?
I feel like I might be, yeah.
Because there's been found that there's a lot of correlations between impulsivity and this, but, you know, okay, so you didn't go to your car inspection in time, and you ended up doing all these other kind of beneficial things, working out, maybe cooking for yourself, cleaning other things. Is there anything, I know this is a stretch, but is there anything that you would want to do that's part of that inspection? Maybe it's like when you think about driving your car, do you like driving your car? And if so, you have to do this thing to get to be able to drive your car again.
Yeah, so like, I ran and talked.
Oh, sorry, Mo, we're losing you a little bit. If you could maybe get to a place with a little bit better signal.
Hello? So, admit me, I went to, hello?
Yeah, hi.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're breaking up.
At midnight, I went to a 24-hour garage, found it open, took it over there, got the problems fixed, and even right now, I'm on my way to get the car inspection done, and I'm doing all the other stuff but to get that car inspection done.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that you're tackling it. Let me ask you something, one last thing, before we try to get one more caller in. You say you drive for a living. You drive a cab?
Yeah.
Yellow cab?
No, Uber.
Uber, okay. And the thing about the procrastinating thing is that driving a cab for a living, I think, is really good for a procrastinator, because the work just kind of keeps coming, right?
Correct.
There's always a fare that has to...
But here's the bad part of it. Because I'm such a that word that you use, I'm such a bad person on that part of it, that because I'm not making as much money as I could be making if I do get up on time and I do my jobs and do everything.
Well, I wouldn't say it makes you a bad person, Mo. It just makes you someone who has one more challenge to kind of overcome to be where you want to be. But thanks again for calling in. Best of luck with the car, with the driving. And we appreciate it. And I'm glad to hear that, you know, you did go to that 24-hour garage and get your car fixed.
Thanks, guys. I mean, what you guys are saying is, I'm looking at it, I'm taking the points, and hopefully I will get over this thing.
Maybe it'll ruminate a little bit, and then you do a little bit more procrastination, then you get it done.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you, Mo. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Julian, you love that word. Ruminate.
Ruminate. It's a pretty word. Right. It's like luminate.
It is a
ruminate.
Nice word. You know, I just noticed that you are a fan of the word.
I feel like it's probably one of the only 10 SAT words I studied, because I was procrastinating all the other ones. So I just use this one a ton, you know. But we got one more call coming in. 1 second.
One more call. And then, you know, if you didn't get around to calling us today, you could call us some other time in the future. Talking procrastination strategies. We've heard from a couple procrastinators. I'd love it if we could hear from someone who has sort of figured it out. Maybe a reformed procrastinator, an ex-procrastinator, someone who beat procrastination. Adrian, you're on the line. Adrian, thank you for calling in. You are on the Positive Mind.
Well, it's sort of fitting that you need someone who's reformed, because I have got a lot of tips for people that are struggling with procrastination in their life.
Great, let's hear it.
Well, what have you done on your own? Were you a procrastinator when you were younger, you're saying, and then now you've become less so?
Yeah, when I was younger, I had a lot of financial problems and had to go on public assistance and didn't really keep track of things, let other people do things for me, and I didn't really have clear path to my own desires, my own goals, and I didn't even know what my desires were. I had no idea because I couldn't identify them. Mm-hmm. So what it really took was me to organize my thoughts, and I had just started brainstorming, and if needed, reorganize those brainstorms and just start to build the steps. I would abstract every individual step and itemize them.
Right, yeah. So it's nice having a visualized goal that you can actually, and steps to that goal that you can achieve. Like Carol was saying before, she said, what can I do in 1 minute? It's like this smaller mm-hmm. task, and it's like maybe if it's a bunch of smaller tasks, and it's not such a large, scary, almost goal in front of you, it's easier to walk up that stairwell to your goals on the next floor.
Well, it's good that we maintain the step metaphor, because it is like a building, and you know every little thing that you do is, you know, a lot of people they say they're trying, that they keep trying something, and I really believe in the idea of working on that. We have these larger projects that take a tremendous amount of our grit, our heart, our spirit, our daily efforts, having a reason to wake up, and it ends up becoming a belief. When we believe we're working on something rather than just sort of flicking a lighter and hoping that the flame ignites.
Right, and when you believe in something like that, the motivation starts, I think, pouring out.
Well, because it becomes you. You just exude it. You become the thing that you want. And if it's a car inspection or if it's, you know, you want to be a star, maybe it's more about making the music and maybe it's more about, you know, having a job, being responsible, taking care of the bills, and having broader goals than just the daily.
And so how long did it take you to turn things around, Adrian?
7 years.
7 years.
Yeah, when I was 25, you know, you hit that, like, quarter century point, and I decided to have my midlife crisis then, and I was like, what the hell am I doing with myself? Took my freelance career more seriously, got that sorted out, and now that that is so well situated, I could focus on my music, and I built a recording studio in my apartment, and now I just...
Nice.
...and been connecting, and it's been great.
Yeah, and absolutely, and there's also something, isn't there something satisfying about working for 7 years on this and building your own recording studio and now being at this place? All of a sudden, you value all this stuff that you've done and the place you've gotten to so much more in that sense. I think that's really important to talk about, too.
Well, also the people that I meet along the way, because when you're searching for something that you are starting to believe in, just developing the idea of belief it's a community effort. So as you build community, you realize that you have all these people around you supporting you, helping you with your goals, and that we're not alone when we're trying to get our, you know, these enormous, humongous things in our mind completed.
That's for sure,
so
Adrian. We're not alone.
All asking. Really?
I want to ask you, Adrian, if you could, real quick, for our listeners who are struggling with procrastination, if you could, what's the biggest difference in your day-to-day life now versus 7 years ago when you were stuck in this sort of cycle of procrastination? You know, just on a physical, how you live your life, what you do every day, what is the biggest difference?
Okay, the biggest difference is email and calendar. Email and calendar.
I love that.
Have a paper trail so that if you're conducting any business or personal stuff, it is there to rely upon. And have a calendar that you are faithful to. You organize it based on your life, you schedule things, you call people up, and they make you accountable to the task. And also, you got to tell people what you're doing.
Right.
Always tell people your plans.
So right. If you tell them, so you don't. Yeah. If you value the social status of everything, then when you tell them you're going to do something and you don't do it, you're disappointing not only yourself but somebody else.
And by telling people, you become accountable.
Yeah, and you actually stick to your word, and that's something that grows in value and people respect you for.
Well, it's not only that. I mean, it's that, obviously, but also people get excited for you. When you have big plans for yourself and you have these ideas that ignite you, other people reflect that flame.
And, I love that.
And they, you know, it's going to be a back and forth, a pink, like a joyous ping pong, hopefully, if, you know, people can stick to their word. And the physical is the calendar, staying true to what they put in their calendar and what they tell folks.
A joyous ping pong. That's perfect.
That's perfect. And on that note, we're going to try to get one more call in here. Thank you so much, Adrian, for coming in here with the other side of things. And good luck with everything. It sounds like you're on a great track, and keep going up that staircase.
Yeah, man, I'm climbing.
All right, man. And take care. Thank you for giving your point of view.
Wow, perfect timing. Adrian, thank you for the call. 212-757-5555. We'd love to take one more call before we have to end the show today at 2 p.m. Thank you to everyone so far who's called in. We are talking about procrastination, how it's affected you, how you deal with it, how you overcome it. Adrian made a fantastic point: email and calendar. And really what it is comes down to accountability. So by putting things down in paper, or maybe it's a digital calendar, but by you're committing to something, right? By putting it down in words. And by staying on top of emails, you know, you're staying accountable to those around you who are maybe depending on you for certain tasks, and makes it harder to skirt around things that you have to do and harder to procrastinate. So, Julian, what are you procrastinating around these days? Is there anything you've been putting off?
It's interesting. Actually, we have one more call. I'm going to try to grab that.
All right, yeah, take this call. We have this funny little setup here in the studio where, well, Julian and I sit across from each other, if you can picture that, and the phone is next to Julian, and so when someone calls in, Julian answers the phone, and that's how we do it.
Yeah, actually, and we have Mark on the line. Mark, hey, you there? Hello?
Hello.
Hey, Mark. If you could lower your radio in the background, that'd be great. And we have just a couple of minutes. We'd love to hear from you your experience with all this.
I procrastinate only about one thing: going to the gym.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah. I need to. I know I need to, but I don't.
So is there anything enjoyable about going to the gym for you?
There used to be.
What was that?
About 10 years ago. I went with my friend who passed away.
Ah, yeah, I could see that. I could see how that would change.
But I never procrastinated in my earlier life. Now, you know, I always listen to Gary and you guys.
Oh, we appreciate that.
You know, I want to make a comment. At the beginning of the show, Julian, you.
Yeah.
Yeah, said to Ben that you didn't realize how much you enjoy working with him. That's just a comment.
Oh, but yeah, I mean,
I find that
sometimes, you know, we're in it so much that we don't, I don't think outside of everything and say, wait, wow, this is such a great experience I'm having every day.
Yeah.
And actually, Mark, we have to get going. It's 1:55 p.m.
Yeah, I realize.
But if you can find another friend or somebody, maybe meet someone at the gym next time you go, that social aspect might really get you going back there.
Yeah. I just want to say, I do the dishes. I just paid my bills.
Fantastic.
I do everything, you know, that's Everything except that.
You just got to hit the last frontier. That's what happens, you know, because we end up doing all the other stuff on the list except for that one that we really, really want to do.
Yeah.
But anyways, thank you so much for calling in. We have to get going, Mark.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Mark. And just for the record, I think I said to Julian, I didn't realize how much I love working with you, but it was tongue-in-cheek. Of course I realize how much I love working with you, Julian. It was just a little banter for the opening.
We had to have a little bit of a procrastination happening in the open there. Thank you for tuning in, everybody. And this is the end for our week of The Positive Mind. And for those callers who didn't make it through, we have your numbers. We'll call you back next time. Hopefully that topic is interesting to you. Make sure to keep tuning in here on WBAI 99.5 FM and sending your emails to us at positivemind@wbai.org.
That's right. And remember, if you ever miss an episode, you can download all the archived stuff on iTunes Podcast. So you can go to the iTunes Store and download it for free on iTunes Store. Just search The Positive Mind. Yeah. Or you can go to positivemind.com.
ThePositiveMind.com.
ThePositiveMind.com.
We got plenty of places to find all this stuff. Thank you for tuning in. Again, I'm Julian.
And I'm Ben.
And take care. Despertar un jardín de